Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I just had an argument with Helwani, and I don't think he was without merit. Here was his stance. We were discussing BJ Penn versus Nick Lentz, which, yes, you guys and I will take credit for. I think we were the first to say to the world what was going on. Nick had a couple of great lines he had used on BJ. Right, if you guys will remember, Nick took a shot at BJ. Nobody heard it. It's like if a tree falls in the wood. Nobody heard it. BJ fires back and says, I will see you soon. Nobody heard it. Nick fires back to that counter and says, well, I don't know about that. I don't plan on spending much time in the back of a police cruiser out in Hawaii, so I don't know why we'd be seeing each other soon. I thought it was a great line. Nobody heard it. I brought it to you guys 2 days later. The fight was signed, so I think maybe we could take a little bit of ownership in that, but that might not be good. If you're on the side of Errol Helwani, here's what he said. He said, this is irresponsible, and anybody who cares about BJ Penn would step in and stop him from doing this. And as far as this business about one more and one more and one more, and I just need one more, he's been given 7 tries, and it's spawned over 5 years. There is no more. This is not the same person, and he should not be in there. That was Ariel's stance, and he is certainly not without merit. I had to push back. I had to push back because I like the fight. I like the storyline behind it. I like the fight. I like that they used to train together. I like that Nick Lentz went after him. I like that Nick Lentz went after him in a time when nobody was going after BJ. And while BJ may seem like a little bit easier job and task to deal with now, Nick started going after him before that was a perception. I thought that showed some courage. I liked it. So I like the storyline. But that's not what Ariel's talking about. Ariel's about talking about something totally different. He's talking about when we regulate this and we look out for safety and we sanction and we matchmake, this should not have been done. My response to that is twofold, threefold. Onefold would be simply, I hear you. I hear you, and you are not without merit, Ariel. Now, let me share where I'm coming from. One of the reasons I like this fight, aside from the storyline and the backstory and maybe our involvement in making it, I like this matchup because it came with a caveat from Dana White directly to BJ Penn. Win, lose, or draw, make me a deal, and I'm going to make you the same deal back. This is your last fight. Now, I shared that with Errol, and I thought that that was very fair. And I thought that that added to the side, to use his word, of responsibility. And he said, yeah, but Chael, what's to promise it's his last fight? What's to promise he doesn't pop up in X, Y, or Z organization? I can promise you it will not be his last fight. Well, I don't know about that. Talk about responsible. Dana coming in and telling him, this is your last fight. Can I take you as a man of your word, and do we have an agreement? And BJ saying, yes, I think that is responsible. To Ariel's point, does that mean that has to be a case? Well, man, if you want to go through your life planning for somebody to double-cross you, I think that's not the definition of responsibility. And secondly, and I don't say this with as condescending of a tone as it's certainly going to sound, but it is Nick Lentz. I mean, not for nothing, BJ's not being thrown in there with Matt Hughes in his prime, with George St. Pierre again, with Nick Diaz again, with a Carlos Condit of the world. It is Nick Lentz. There's a reason Nick could not get this fight. There's a reason it took Nick 6 years to get this fight. And that is, they just weren't on the same level. They just simply were not. Now, before any of you look at this and tell me that Nick Lentz is going to beat him, I understand the likelihood of all of these things. That's not what I'm pushing back against. I'm pushing back against responsibility. Were responsible steps taken? Is this an appropriate matchup? Does it make a level of sense? Do both athletes agree and want to do this full will and of their own volition? And the answer of all of those things is yes. So when you talk about responsibility, I think that it is responsible. I will also offer for you, neither one of these guys has been a main card fighter in a meaningful period of time. I think that's sad in the BJ front. I think that maybe that's wrong on the Nick Lentz front. I think Nick Lentz is a pretty rough guy. However, this is the kind of fight that could get them on a main card and do a nice little send-off to BJ. Win, lose, or draw. A deal's a deal. I take BJ at his word. I think we got something to see there, and I'm glad that we're going to see it. I would be remiss if I did not mention what's going down tomorrow between Colby and Robbie. And you know, that's also got a backstory that I don't think was played up enough, which is they used to be teammates. They trained together. Colby had one opinion of those workouts, and Robbie had another opinion. A lot of times where you will see that, and you'll even have witnesses and coaches come out and go, look, I've seen those guys go together a million times. I can tell you exactly who wins. Then they go fight, and it's a different result. One of the things that happens in the practice room is you get a veteran like Robbie Lawler, who's got a 12-pound gold belt around his waist. You get a 25-year-old up-and-comer at the time named Colby Covington, who's got his sights set on that very belt. And all of a sudden, Robbie says, you know what? When I go with him, I'm going to hold back. Just in case down the road we run into one another, I'm going to hold back. I don't know that that's what happened, but I do know that that happens and guys can get surprised. And I think that I may have some evidence on my side that that is exactly what happened, because everybody that did say those workouts said it did look pretty good for Colby Covington. Yet Robbie Lawler signed that contract without a hesitation. There's some compelling and moving parts there. And Dana has recently come out and said that if Colby wins this, not a straight-up semifinal, not the winner of this, if Colby wins this, Colby will go on and fight for the title. That may be his opinion as of now, and that may even be the number that the dice falls on. But there's going to be some talking when this is done. Masvidal and Colby are going to have it out. They are going to tell their sides. You guys will make the decision. You guys will be vocal. You guys will be heard before Dana rules on that. I only tell you that because there's a chance here for you to not only participate, but to have some fun. This is going to be fun. Colby's got a hard task to do. How is he going to be more impressive than a 5-second knockout over a guy who had never been defeated before, right? I mean, he's got some work to do. At the same time, I think Colby is in the driver's seat. He gets to go second. Even in the court of law, defense gets the final word. They get the benefit of the doubt. Whoever goes last has a benefit. In addition to all of that, Colby Covington was a world champion who never lost his title. And all that steam and all that vigor out there for Tony Ferguson to be given a chance at a title fight for that exact same reason. Is he had the belt and he never lost, but no longer has the belt. All that same vigor, and I love where you guys place it, and you're completely right to defend Tony. Just understand, for those of you who are defending Tony with that argument, I would expect that you would also defend Colby. I think that you should keep that in mind. And I think we're going to have some fun. And Masvidal's not letting this one go. And nobody's got more steam right now than the Masvidal train. I think it's going to be a fun couple of weeks should Colby get over on Robbie. But there's plenty of slip between a cup and a lip, and this is going to be a good fight. Guys, I like to keep you informed about the latest MMA news and give you my honest takes, but I am just one man. Therefore, the MMA community deserves as much comprehensive coverage as possible, and you can get just that with our friends at The Athletic. The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher that offers smarter sports coverage for die-hard fans like all of you. With The Athletic, the coverage goes beyond game recaps and fight results, providing smarter analysis and a deeper perspective about the teams, leagues, and players involved. And the best part, The Athletic does it all with no ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos, just the news you came looking for. For listeners of my program only, you can get 40% off a yearly subscription to The Athletic. That's $2.99 per month. All you got to do is head to theathletic.com/jail. Subscribers will have full access to a national as well as local football coverage, plus stories, podcasts, and videos from all the sports out there. And over at The Athletic, their MMA coverage is top flight, with such notable journalists as Chad Dundas, Ben Foulkes, and Josh Gross, amongst others, all of whom have previously contributed to ESPN, MMA Junkie, Sports Illustrated, The Ringer, just to name a few. Get yourself informed and updated in MMA and the world of sport with The Athletic. Get 40% off your yearly subscription to The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/jail. Guys, check it out.
This is Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hey, everybody. Dan Patrick here, host of the Dan Patrick Podcast on Podcast One. Join me this week for the hottest sports topics and great interviews.
As it stands right now, Tom Brady's still awesome. He's certainly, you know, the most decorated of all time, not even close. I get that. But, yes, going into the 2019 season, Dan, I look at him as the ninth best quarterback.
Download new episodes of the Dan Patrick Show podcast Monday through Friday, only on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
So Corey Anderson has taken some swings and some misses here, and he got into a verbal confrontation with John Jones over the weekend that was captured on video. And I got to tell you, I liked it. I really did. Corey Anderson, look, this guy's out way over his skis. Corey Anderson being in the same conversation as a world title fight or a main event or a John Jones is no, we are not there. However, Corey thinks we are. Corey sees himself and the guy he's looking in the mirror thinks that guy's a pretty tough fighter. Well, not for nothing, but you miss every shot that you don't take, right? So for Corey to have these grand visions of himself, you have to start somewhere. For Corey to go out and start a confrontation with John Jones, and I should let you guys know for anybody that didn't see it, there was a guardrail. Corey never crossed it, never even tried to. He was never within 20 feet of John Jones, and when he went and saw him, he never attempted for it to turn physical. He threw a little bit of chatter at him, and John responded through a little chatter back. That's responsible for me. I mean, those are not guys that are out there trying to get into some kind of street justice, and in Corey's case, you bring all your buddies, you ambush a guy, and make sure somebody has a camera, right? That would be a scumbag move. I've had that happen to me. That's not what he did. It's not what he did at all. John was in town. He saw an opportunity. Whether he's out over his skis or not, he's trying to insert himself into a conversation. He's got a level of wins. He's an Ultimate Fighter winner. He's been around for a little while. He's a good-looking guy. He's a young guy. I mean, he checks a few boxes. Not as many as he thinks he checks, but he checks a few boxes. And now all of a sudden, he gets the champ to give him a response. And it's not in a hostile manner. I liked it. I mean, I liked it in that regard. Corey has a couple of problems. And I'm using Corey Anderson by name because this just happened. And his name is Corey Anderson. But I think that you could relate this story to many guys. They will have their little fight career, and they will hang out at their little gyms with their little coaches and their little teammates, and their only interaction they get with the world is their own social media accounts, okay? Generally, a guy's own social media account is going to be 80% positive. They're your people, your fans, and your followers. Well, if that's the only universe you have, a drive to the gym with your coaches and your teammates telling you how great you are, and then social media that's 80-20 in favor of you, you can very quickly start to mark out for your own gimmick. That very quickly can become your new reality. You're in a closed society, and you can very quickly think that you're the guy, even if you're light years from being the guy. So once you mark out for your gimmick, once you buy into something that is not reality-based, you then start making demands within that. You start being offered fights and opportunities and say, no, that fight doesn't make sense. If you are a fighter, if you are a trainer, or a manager, or a teammate, or a coach, and you ever find yourself saying the words, no, that fight doesn't make sense, stop yourself. Those are the words that are going to lead down the wrong path. I have never seen everybody wants to use this. It comes up all the time, and when it does, you got to put the reins on them pretty quick. Stop them right there. Say, show me an example in MMA. Show me a time over history where this has worked. What is the paradigm for you doing and saying what you're going to do? What is the paradigm for you thinking you have the power to control who the matchups are? That you have the ability to take control and become the pro? What is it? Show me an example where that's ever worked out. Those are the beginning five phrases, five words, to any statement or idea that is about to go the wrong way. At one point, I was hard on Corey Anderson because he was talking about he wanted a title shot, and he, in the same sentence, he was saying, this could be my last fight, I'm going to retire. Corey was upset with me, and he never told me he was upset with me, but we saw each other at an event, and he looked over at me to let me know he was upset with me. Yeah, Corey, message delivered. I'm still right. I'm still right, because don't forget, the only person that you have to impress and get the approval of, the only person, is the one with the power of the pen to put your name on the contract and then put John Jones' name on the contract. In this case, if you're at light heavyweight and you want a title shot. When you are sending a mixed message, such as, I may be done, I may take my ball and go home for any reason, whether you're unhappy or you're worried about something more severe like CT, for whatever reason, if you're on your way out of the store and the product's going to be gone, I'm not putting you on the top shelf. I'm putting a different product on the top shelf and you are moving to the bottom because you are going to be gone anyway, according to you, and I have to take you at your word. So some of these messages do get a little bit off. I respect that Corey like Babe Ruth, walked out on the mound and points where he's going to put the ball. If he puts the ball there, he looks like a hero. If he doesn't, he looks like a fool. I respect that he took the risk to do it. But let's get that messaging a little bit clear. If behind the scenes you are saying that fight does not make sense for me, that fight does not make sense for my career, if you're using those words, all the promoter here, he doesn't want to do it my way. If somebody is giving me attitude now, I can't put the belt around him. I've had enough champions become closet champions. I've had enough champions hide with that strap. Make up injuries, make up illness, do any, avoid opponents, kick the can down the road so that they can keep telling their buddies that they're the champion of the world. I've had enough guys do that. If a guy's giving me a hard time when he has no power, he is not the main event, he is not a marquee fighter, he's not the guy I need or lean on to go do media, and he's still giving me a hard time, I just can't put the strap around him. I just can't do it. And this has been going on from the beginning of time. This isn't a new concept. Vince McMahon deals with this problem. Okay, it's called creative control. And Vince will make sure he maintains creative control of his athletes. He will sit down, he'll work a contract out. Here's your fee. You show up. Here's what you get. Here's my participation. Now I'm going to take it from here. I am going to take the storyline from here. Not everything gets to be moonlight and canoes. Somebody's got to be the good guy. Somebody's got to be the bad guy. Somebody gets to be the smart guy. Somebody has to be the stupid guy. Somebody has to be the dense guy. Somebody gets to be the funny guy. We need all types. I am responsible to get a return on my investment. So I will do what I said I would do. I will set up the cameras. I will let you have your fun, and I will make sure you make a living at your chosen profession. But outside of that, I have to bring in the return. It's up to me. I'm seeing fighters in this sport saying, the promoter must be nice to me. Promoter must be nice to me. What are you talking about? That can't possibly be a requirement. A promoter is to do what he said he would do, pay you on time, make sure the check doesn't rubberize. That's actually a pretty new concept in the world of combat. The dirtiest, filthiest sport, if you look at the history of it, ever. Ever. Not anymore. Commissions, licenses, bonds, very secure business. If the promoter can be honest, great. If the promoter could give you an opportunity and make sure that you were on a main card, oh my gosh, wouldn't even ask for that. Wow. The promoter could make you a main event or a co-main event and give you a title opportunity. Oh my gosh. Again, wouldn't even ask for it. What an incredible opportunity. Now the promoter's got to be nice. Now I get to pick and choose my fights. I get to decide what makes sense. God, Corey, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And nobody in the history of times ever said, hey, I got to stop what I'm doing tonight. Corey Anderson's fighting. And I'm not giving you a hard time for your skills. By the way, I see the skills. I'm a fellow wrestler just like I see the skills. I saw him on The Ultimate Fighter on day one. I now see the attitude and I see the grit and I see the toughness. What is missing is the attitude. A champion fights anyone, anywhere, at any time, or he's not a champion. The end. If a contender is not willing to do that, we cannot make him the champion. And before you stop it, but I wouldn't do that as champion. I would fight anybody as champion. It's different. I'm a contender, so I'm living by a separate set of rules. You might even be telling the truth. That might be exactly what's in your heart. But if I'm the promoter, I have to look at the evidence that's in front of me. If I get burned once, if I make a phone call once, if I get told no once, if I have a fighter I have under contract who I will pay on time, every time, exactly what I told him I would pay, and I give him an opportunity and tell him, this is what I would like you to do for me, and you then offer your opinion, and that opinion is adverse to my wishes, I want a yes and you tell me no, to be quite specific, to put it in very simple terms for you. I can't trust you. I just can't. And you may go, but wait, I'm an honorable guy. If you're an honorable guy, then honor the contract. Contract says, I need to offer you 3 fights a year. What I need to hear from you is a yes when I call. And that seems to be a little bit of a push and pull. And that's something that everybody can work through. And Corey is not unique here. The reason Corey's getting talked about is Corey did a good job of making sure he's being talked about. Before anybody thinks this is a kick Corey Anderson session, it's not. Corey is doing a lot of things right. He is calling for fights that are way over his skis and way over his record. I understand that. But that's how you get there. You got to climb that ladder at some point. You got to make a little bit of noise. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Whether he's being a squeaky wheel and he's willing to get a little grease, or if he just, his reality is off and he thinks that he belongs in there with Judge. whatever. But there has to be a level of understanding when you don't get it. There just does. When you go, man, I've done everything right, and this makes sense. Says who? Well, that's what my coaches said. That's what my teammates said. I looked at the rankings myself, and that's what I said. Then you're focused on the wrong guys. Well, I don't know about that. The people on Twitter told me this, and there's 4 or 5 people DM'd me on Facebook. I'm pretty sure I'm right. No, you're not. You're looking to appease the wrong people. There is one person that makes this decision. So it's not a matter of what Chael is saying, and it's damn sure not a matter of what your social media or your inbox is saying or what your coaches or your teammates or, frankly, the rankings said. The one person who makes the decision has been doing this for 19 years. If you were wise, you would study those 19 years, and you would know what makes that person put your name down. So many times I will hear the concept of, this doesn't make sense. I have everything to lose and I have nothing to win. And there's such a power when somebody makes that statement. I mean, they really feel invigorated when they make that in the fight business. I have everything to lose and I have nothing to... What are you talking about? We got a contract. It's an ass-whipping contest. And by the way, we're prize fighters. Is there money on the line? Great. Is the money with the... We said the money was going to be... maybe even a little more. Okay, great. I'll be there. That's how this works. And while I would challenge you, because I see people get invigorated on this, I see them getting power, hanging their hat on the argument of I have everything to lose and I have nothing to gain, and therefore this makes no sense. I will tell you right now, whenever somebody asked me who I wanted to fight, the most honest way I could possibly tell you is the biggest name and the largest venue who is smaller and worse than me for the biggest paycheck. I want the easiest guy for the most money. That is my answer. So if you're telling me what makes sense and that the rankings have it right because they make sense and they want to offer you a guy who's lower, go get your money. Go get your money. That's it. Because I will challenge you at some point when you're invigorated and you're willing to die on the hill of this doesn't make sense. I will challenge you historically to show me somebody that worked out for. You will fail. I will then show you somebody right off the top of my head who it did work out for. Have you guys heard of a young fighter named Daniel Cormier? Daniel Cormier was to co-headline an event. At the top of the bill was Ronda Rousey. Daniel Cormier had no opponent. Daniel Cormier was in line to fight for a world championship. They brought a guy in who was a barista at the store at Starbucks. At the time that Dana White called him, he had his apron on behind the counter, and his manager was upset that he was taking a call. Dana overheard the manager and said, "Will you fight Daniel Cormier in 8 days?" And the guy said, "Yes, I would. His name is Patrick Cummins." And Dana said, "Is that your manager I hear in the background?" And Patrick said, "Yes, it is. I need to get off the phone." And Dana said, "No, you need to look at her, take your apron off, and say, 'I quit. I'm in the UFC.'" And he did. And Pat walked outside and got on his bicycle because at that time in his financial life, he could not afford a car. He pedaled home. He called his coaches and he went to the gym. Before you think that's a cool Pat Cummins story, make sure you understand Daniel Cormier was the number one contender. He was called to fight a guy who was a barista at the time. You want to talk about something that doesn't make sense? And guess what happened to Daniel after that fight? A fight that didn't make sense, a fight that couldn't lift him, a fight that couldn't send him anywhere because the guy wasn't ranked in front. All these things that you fighters want to say, this makes sense. I'm sure I've thought about it. This makes sense. Guess what Daniel Cormier did next? He went and fought for a world championship that, oh, by the way, broke pay-per-view records, which, oh, by the way, changed his life. So I know you're willing to die on that hill. I know that it just makes sense to you. That you should be fighting somebody ranked in front of you and you should have a good placement on the card and all these wonderful things. And if it's not absolutely wonderful for you, then it doesn't make sense. I understand that. But if I ask you somebody over the history of time who's taken that stance and it worked out for them, you are going to draw a blank and you're going to die on that hill and people will forget you quickly. Or take the Daniel Cormier approach. I got a date. I got a contract. You choose the opponent. See you then. Let's hear it for our friends at Geico for supporting this podcast and helping you to save some cash without even leaving the house. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, guys, I got to tell you, I haven't been able to get enough of Chris Cyborg lately. I've been watching her videos. I watched her fight. I was even at YouTube/Chris Cyborg getting filled in. And now I've got her here to talk in person. Chris, what's going on?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here, Sonnen. Very nice to be here. And after a victory, you know, I was, you know, you're a fighter and you know how it works when you get a victory.
Oh, it's the best, right? You can hardly sleep. Now you can eat because you're not cutting weight, but you're so excited, it's hard to eat. Yeah, it's great. It's a great time.
Yes, yes. Very good, very good. You can rest, be with your family, enjoy the time a little bit. Yes.
Are you back home?
Yes, I'm back home. And I was in South Africa like 2 months to work for this fight. I started my camp in California, and I finished the camp in South Africa, and I was 2 months out of the house. No comfortable place, you know, in the jungle, like, actually. And then, you know, focus on just training and be ready for this fight.
And then when you go to South Africa, who trains you? Do your coaches go with you or do you work with a different team?
Before my two last fights, I bring one guy, Don Madge. He's helping me in my camp for Amanda Nunes and for Holly Holm. And then he told me, Chris, next time you need to go to South Africa training for my team. And I went there in March because I do a charity too in Uganda. And I stayed there 1 month training. I really enjoy the team. Everybody young and a very good team. Just motivate me. I'm the oldest there, but I'm still young. And then, but everybody 20, 22. And I enjoy. And then I said, no, I'm going to come back soon. And then when I was flying to South Africa, my flight closed. Then call me, Chris, you're going to fight. Just work perfect. I start training in California and I go over there and do my indie camp.
That's awesome. Hey, Chris, you got to tell me, I read something online that you bought a well or you bought two wells for like Ugandan kids so they can have water. Am I close to that?
Yes. I before I'm on the fight, I always like to do something nice after my fight because I feel like when you get blessed, you have to bless someone. You cannot stop the bless. You have one reason why you get the bless. And I felt in my heart, you know, I want to help you put the water wells because I was in the church. And I had the opportunity to meet Justin Rand 1 year ago, when before Holly Holm fight. And they would just remember about him. And when I called him after the month fight, he said, you know, Chris, I need two water wells because I have to take out people who slave now for be free. And I get one promised land for them. But for them getting free, I need to give a water well for them. And they put one water well in the land for the tribe, Pygmy tribe. Just worked perfect. I was going to South Africa, and then I have the opportunity to meet Justin there in Uganda. I meet the people. We put the water well. It was an unbelievable experience, you know. It changed my life. Like, we changed their lives, but changed more my life because you're just thankful, you know. Thankful for everything you have. You wake up in the morning, you have water, you have food, you have everything. And then happy. You know, they're happy with nothing. This is good.
Well, it was very incredible you did it. You know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. I got to see a picture of those kids around the well, and it made me feel good. Did it, so I have to say thank you to you, but it made me feel good just to see the picture. So super cool move. Thank you for doing that for him.
Well, and I know I have never opportunity to tell you, thank you, Sonia. When my ex have the trauma in his head, and you give to him, you help him with money too for his recovery. I never had the opportunity to say thank you, but you know, this is one thing being kind of for you, and it's very, very nice. Just to be thankful for helping this.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you, and I hope he's doing well. Hey, I got to ask you something. I don't want to get too much into your fight. I realize you're moving on, but when I watched that fight, I mean, that turned into a dog fight pretty fast. You must have at least been impressed with her ability to take some of those shots and recompose. Am I right?
Yes, you know, I didn't. She's have a great heart, big heart, because she touched me in the beginning of the elbow and surprised me, actually. And then she touched me one time. I touched her 5 times. I look at her face. I saw she felt the punch, but she's moving around. My hand hurts now because this, you know, and she's going to be a big name in the division. She's going to do great, man. I punched really hard her and she don't quit. She's continue. I saw her face sometimes. I was thinking she's going to quit, but she don't quit. And, man, she's going to be a big problem in the division. She's going to be good. She's young.
And see, that's what I saw. When I was watching that fight, I thought you looked awesome. I thought she just also turned out to be putting out a really good performance. Some of the stuff that I read after, most people agreed with me, but some people, you know how this is going to go. You've been living with this your whole life. Oh, Cyborg should have had out of there in 2 minutes. Cyborg didn't perform well. That's not what I saw. I saw Cyborg having to dig deep with a bull coming at her nonstop who was trying to win the fight, and Cyborg held up. I just thought both of you deserve such a round of applause, but because she is a newer name, because you are a former champion, because she surprised people, there was some jerks out there that tried to take a negative view of that fight. Chris, I actually thought it was the best female fight I've ever seen. I loved it.
You know, I work after my last fight, I really work it patient. You know, it's something, but because the Hawa's fight with my heart, make me champion, but make me lose too. You know, it's happened. But you know, look like I was patient, but I know every moment that I'm doing the fight. Every moment I was there, every moment I was enjoying the time, I was really happy. And then I enjoyed the time every moment. When she did the elbow me, I see the blood. I say, okay, let's go. It's a war. I don't care. And I keep going. You know, I think she's helping me make a great fight. You know, she tried taking out the whole time. I was not tired. I was feel great. You know, I was training in South Africa. That is 7,000 feet high. It's a big altitude there. I was ready for the 6 rounds. And it just is because she make the fight good because she's handling herself, you know. And she's tough. She's tough. She wants to do something. But she don't touch me a lot, but she just tough. She's handle everything.
Okay, so are you a fan of this sport like I am? Like, when you're not fighting, are you watching fighting? Are you watching Bellator and UFC and seeing everybody that's out there?
You know, I just watch a couple fights. The people I know, I really try separate, you know, because I train all day. I really don't want to watch fights. Sometimes I go in an event and I want to just know who I know and I just show up with the person I know. I really don't follow too much because it's too much. It's too much. Like when you have a job, I know some people love, like my fiancé loves, he's going to show up 5 a.m., 4 p.m., watch everything. You know, I want it in the end. It's sometimes. But I follow the girls, my division. You know, I try see what they do, what they're getting better. You know, it's good.
So do you have somebody in your – you've been on top for so long, Chris. You have been on top for the better part of 2 decades. Do you have somebody who is your idol? Somebody that you look up to, somebody that you go, I want to be like them. Or have you just been the queen for so, how does that work? Do you have somebody that you look at, maybe a past fighter, present fighter, and go, that's what I want to do?
You know, the beginning of my career, I really want to be fight like men fight. You know, like, because when you say girls fight, people say, they're going to pull the hair, they're going to be no excited fight. And then I was trying to show, like, you can be violent, you can be techniques, you can be, you know, the same time, the girls can do the same, the guys, you know. For me, I look to what the guys try doing, you know, like, for doing great fight for the people watch. And no boring fight, excited fight. And I come from shooter box, and everybody fight with a heart there. You know, like, Wanderlei Silva, Shogun, my ex, Cyborg, and I think all the guys fight with your heart, you know, and then I think this is I looking for to do, you know.
Next week, heavyweight championship, Cormier Stipe, gonna be in your home out there in California. Are you coming?
I'm gonna be in Brazil because I'm doing an event in Brazil. We're gonna be my fifth fight event, Cybernation event. We're doing event, have box, MMA, and they're gonna have my event in Brazil, August 10.
Very cool.
I'm gonna be there. We did this for give you opportunity for the fighters. I have one girl. She left our event, and she's gonna sign with UFC. You know, it's really nice. You give it back what you have back, and having people around me give the opportunity to begin my career. And I just feel like if I can do that, my brother, the promoter, I support him and help him to do that.
Very cool. And let me get your opinion on one fight that's coming up, Khabib. Is going to take on Poirier to unify the championships. How do you like that fight? Who do you think comes out in that?
You know, I think it's going to be a great fight, very technical fight. I think Khabib have a strong game. You know, he's taking down and holding in the floor. I think you have a lot of patience. I think you have to try play jiu-jitsu with Khabib because if you try stand-up, you're going to be hard. And it'd be a great fight, you know. Let's see.
Yeah, and then let me ask you this. Down the road, does Conor come right back in against the winner of that fight, or does Conor end up fighting with, you know, they're talking about Masvidal, they're talking about Tony Ferguson. What would you like to see happen there as a fan?
I think Tony Ferguson with McGregor is going to be a great fight.
Do you think that do you think McGregor will agree to that? I mean, if you listen to Tony, Tony says, yeah, we would all do that fight. Conor will never fight me because he knows what would happen. I don't know if that's tough talk or if that's a reality or there's no title on the line. It seems like Conor's only coming back if there's a world championship.
You know, it's a great fight. I don't know if you're going to be good for McGregor, but, you know, if he Fox training and be ready, you know, Tony Ferguson's tough. I like watching his fight. He's a crazy guy and his stuff. He's go to the end, technical. It could be a good fight. Good for Tony Ferguson, I believe.
All right, I look forward to it. Chris, I was hoping to see you next week in California because I'm going to be at the heavyweight title fight, but you'll be in Brazil, so we will catch up another time. Unless you got anything you want to get off your chest, hopes, goals, dreams, anything you want to share?
No, I'm fine. It's okay. Thank you.
You're awesome. Thank you, Chris Cyborg. This was fun. All right, guys, Chris Cyborg, you know, coming off fresh off a victory over Felicia Spencer, and what I thought, I truly did, and I will fully admit that I have a recency bias, I will fully admit I have a short-term memory, but I really did think that was amongst the best female fights that I had ever seen. And I thought that largely because there was a surprise factor. It was surprising how good Spencer did. But I was also surprised at Cyborg's ability to keep her foot on the gas. There was some people that had said after they saw that fight that they thought Cyborg looked tired. I have two responses to that. First off, she has every right to be tired. She is in a fist fight. It is a full-on spread for 15 minutes. She has the right to be tired. If she was not tired, I, as the paying customer, would feel that she owed me something. Hey, Chris, why didn't you give it everything? You didn't look tired. I feel like you can't ever win that battle. But secondly, she was able to compose herself, even through that fatigue, even through throwing some of those shots. Let me give you guys an example that you may be able to relate to a little bit better instead of just hearing me say that it was impressive that she could hit her with her best shots that would have gotten most girls out of there, but Spencer stayed in, and so props to Cyborg. Here's what I'm talking about. Do you guys remember McGregor versus Diaz Part 1? About 7.5 minutes in, Conor McGregor was so exhausted that he was taken down, his back was taken, he was done. That was not the submission of the great jiu-jitsu ace, Nick Diaz. That was an exhaustion by Conor McGregor. Conor is very honest post-fight. He always is. Oh, he's such a good sport. And he's very honest to tell you his assessment of what happened, including negative things if it was a defeat. And Conor very openly said, I was not efficient with my energy, which, very nice way of saying, I got tired, I gave up. But Conor went on at another time to tie that thought back together. And he just said, look, I hit Nate with punches that put other people down. So when I threw absolutely everything I had into those shots and he's still standing there, it cracked me. It rattled me mentally. That is not how I saw that going. The visions that I just wasn't happening, and it was frustrating. That frustration also creates a fatigue, adding to Connor's original premise. So when he went out and did part two, he threw those same shots. He just wasn't surprised that time. He wasn't frustrated that time. He was able to extend his conditioning because that's what he invented. He knew he was going into a hard contest. Whereas the first time he did not know that, did not believe that. Whenever a fight turns out to be harder than you think it is going to be, that is when things start to unravel for you. Mentally, which then turns to physically. All of those signs were there for Chris Cyborg, except she didn't unravel. She just kept throwing those punches. And people came out and said, well, she was tired. She should have been tired. That was my takeaway. I will fully admit that you guys are probably tired of hearing me go back and talk about this fight. I will concede to you, and I will move on. Guys, I've had it with you all, but I'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, enjoy your weekends. Remember who you are, what you stand for, and try not to let that get you down. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.